If you would, take out your Bibles. Turn to Romans chapter 8, please. I hope you haven't gotten tired of hearing this, because I haven't gotten tired of saying it. I've been saying it for a few weeks now. Jesus is alive, and that changes everything. Nothing is the same. I know that as I go through my life, daily life, just the ins and outs of life, I need to keep reminding myself that Jesus is alive. My life looks different. I draw strength from His everlasting life that gives me life. You know, with all the junk of life, right? All the slogging through the mud, just all the stuff, I'm encouraged that Jesus is alive and I have life in Him. I think that I need that hope, that confident hope of everlasting life. I imagine you need it also. We need that hope to keep going. Without Christ, there is no hope. Without Christ, there is no such thing as happiness or peace. There's no such thing as deep abiding happiness, peace, or hope except in Christ Jesus. It doesn't exist outside of Christ. But I want to read some scripture that has some good news. Good news that should give us hope and peace. So Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. The truth that we need to remember is that there is no condemnation for the followers of Christ. As followers of Jesus, there is no condemnation. He has taken our guilt, our sin, our shame, and He has cleansed us of it. It's washed away. Yes, we have done wrong. Okay? I don't necessarily know the wrong that all of us have done, but I know you have done wrong. Our wrong is wrong. Our sin is sin. But Jesus carries it for us. He died for it so that we are free of the accusations. We're not just this sum of successes and failures. We are so much more than just listing out what we've done well, what we've done badly, what we've done right, what we've done wrong, and trying to add it all up. We're set free from all of that. See, later in Colossians 2, 13 and 14 says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. Okay, when you were dead, God made you alive, just like Jesus being made alive. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He's taken it away, nailing it to the cross. The debt is canceled. We're set free. The punishment of death is gone. We're alive with Christ. The fine is paid. You know, there's a lot of stuff lately about, the Olam parking fines, right? We're going to start getting, boots put on our tires. I don't know what's so bad about that. I think, my car looked kind of neat with boots. I wear boots. But there's a lot of issues about fines. I do want to mention, I believe that the Heather that is mentioned, Heather Long, see, that's Heather Marie Long. Heather is Heather Nicole Long. So I suspect it wasn't Heather. But anyway, big deal about all the fines, all the parking fines, right? Hundreds of thousands of dollars in parking fines in Olean. You park someplace, they catch you, they put a boot on your car, you don't get it moved till you get it paid. And you got to pay to have them come and take the boot off, right? Jesus paid the fine for your sin, for your wrongs. He's taken your condemnation upon himself. Now, the first thing I would really like today is for you to settle this issue once and for all. Settle this issue in your heart, in your soul. I'm going to look at the scriptures again. We're going to read them together this time. Okay. Now, I have changed the second one. I want to be sure you know that. Okay. But it's, the changes are in italics. I made it so you're writing it about yourself. When I'm reading it about yourself, okay? I haven't changed the meaning. I've just changed from third person to first person. I'd like us to read these together. Let's start. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Once I was alienated from God and was an enemy in my mind because of my evil behavior. But now He has reconciled me by Christ's physical body through death to present me holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation. To present you holy in His sight, without blemish, free from accusation. And it's not just looking holy, right? All the illustrations that are easy with this, you know, being washed, a new set of clothes, it's all outside stuff. But God changes from the inside out. We are cleansed of the shame, cleansed of the guilt, cleansed of the sin, without blemish, not just on the outside, but on the inside. So that shame in your life, I don't want you to just tell anybody what it is, but that shame that's in your life, it doesn't belong to you anymore. Christ paid for it. There's no condemnation. That shame because of what you've done. You know, those bad choices. Those sins. The ways you've hurt people. The shame isn't yours. It doesn't belong to you anymore. Jesus bought it from you. He carried it on the cross. If you want to carry that shame, you have to steal it back from Christ. Okay? I mean, imagine your shame is this really old, sorry automobile. Right? Okay, it's a 1974 Vega. Okay? Little aluminum engine block. It's got two cracks in it. It's rusted out. The windshield's broken. The lights don't work. It kind of idles. It's 5 miles to the gallon. 5 miles to the quart of oil. And Jesus bought it from you, knowing what it was. You have to keep stealing it back if you want it. It's His. He has the title to it. Your shame, your guilt, it's His. He bought it by His death. His blood paid for it. Now imagine selling that car. Jesus doesn't just give you money for it. He gives you His blood for it. You want to take it back. It's not yours. The shame because of what you've done. The shame because of things people have done to you. And it's especially difficult, the shame we feel because of things that have been done to us. The times you've been hurt or abused or neglected, and you keep thinking it's your fault. That shame is gone. He took it away like an old rusty 74 Chevy Vega. It's not yours. You're without blemish. You're flawless. Popular song out today. And it's true. You're flawless. I like the music video that goes with that thing. You know, they start the music video and they're all covered in paint and grease and that kind of stuff. And the music, as the music video plays, you watch. They play it backward. They play the video backwards that the stuff's coming off of them from when it was thrown on them. I would have loved to throw that stuff on those guys. But, you know, while they're staying there and this stuff comes off, our shame is gone. We're flawless. That voice inside you that says you're no good. Okay, the one that says you're ugly, or you're dumb, or you're fat, or you're chicken, or you're weird, or you're unlovable, or you're a failure, or whatever. That voice isn't from God. God's not telling you that. Because that's condemnation. Now, the voice comes from one of two things. It's either your own voice, you're trying to remind yourself, or it's Satan working to condemn you. But there is no condemnation from God. When we put our trust in Christ, the condemnation is gone. That's what Romans tells us. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit, God, is more powerful than sin and death. He wins. It's like playing pinochle and God holds all the trump cards. And I can really show my age. Pinochle, Chevy Vega? I mean, my goodness. Must be, yeah, John doesn't have a clue. Okay, Chevy Vega is a really sad old car. And pinochle, I have no idea. I just heard the word once. We used to play pinochle a lot when I was a kid. But there is no condemnation from God. He doesn't pour it on you. You need to settle it. You're deeply loved. In Christ, you're flawless, without blemish. Well, the rest of the story is that others need to know it too. We need to settle this, but we also need to help other people to know it. Others need to be freed from the slavery to sin, slavery to death, slavery to condemnation. And there's only one path, that's Christ. You know, people wish to believe, they can make up all kinds of ways to peace, to heaven, to God. People like to think that we can decide for ourselves what God is like. We like to believe that religions are all the same. It doesn't really matter, right? But Jesus is different. No other God will die for you. No other God loves you enough to offer his life for your peace, your hope, for your life. No other God can buy away from you your guilt and shame and condemnation. People need Jesus. People need Jesus. no one else will do. People need what we have. The only alternative to Christ is death. It's one or the other. Jesus is everlasting life. And all other paths are death. You know, we were reading in Sunday school this morning, talking about the raising of Lazarus. And, okay, Lazarus dies, but death isn't the end of the story. Unless Christ comes back, all of us will die a physical death. Unless he comes back sooner than, you know, however long you think you're going to live. Okay? I mean, I'm getting so old, I probably only have a couple years left. Just kidding. You know, if Christ doesn't come back in 100 years, probably none of us will be here anymore. But death isn't the end of the story. Death is a step into a new life, an everlasting life, a wonderful life. It's the step into all those things you always wished. It's a step into the life that is the answer to all these things that plague us on earth and all these whys and, you know, why is this? And it's just not fair. And we long for what we're going to get because death isn't the answer, isn't the end. But that's in Christ that that's the answer. People need Christ. The compassionate thing to do is to share Jesus. The loving thing to do is to share Jesus. I think we need to be pursuing. And that just doesn't mean we wait until we get hit over the head with a 2x4 by God saying, make sure you talk to this person. But we need to be pursuing, looking for, hunting for appropriate, loving ways to share Christ as the Spirit leads us. People need Jesus. We talked about Church in the Community coming up May 21st. That's a great way, actually. I know other people have also. But when we work at people's houses, I get all kinds of opportunities. Why would you do this? I think one of the greatest things is we do this help for people and we don't take money for it. Why would a church want to do this if you don't want money? I mean, you know, one lady, we were last year helping her grandmother actually, oh, it was her aunt. She was visiting from out of town and she was trying to do some work, but we were helping her aunt. And this woman said, well, my church would never refuse the money. Well, we're not doing this for money. We're doing this for Christ. It's a great way to be able to share. 8 to 1, 8 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock. We have lunch afterward. It's a great time to be together. There are all kinds of people who are noticing that we do this. It's been year over year. It's like 5 years now we've done it. And people in our neighborhood are starting to say, oh, you're from Hillside. That's that church that loves people. You know, if I ever go to church, I think I'm going to go there. I don't want you to try it this week. Oh, no, not this week. Yeah. Well, you know, if you ever get a pastor who can tell a joke, maybe I'll come. No, I've never had that one. That's what they're thinking, but they're too kind to say it. But our neighborhood is starting to say, you know, like, that's that church that loves people. And that's to God's glory. And I think we need to be looking for ways to share with people. And I'm going to give you, I think, what I think is the best way to witness to somebody. There are all kinds of ways. I mean, you can learn all kinds of things. You learn all kinds of rules and memorize all kinds of things. But I'm going to give you what I think is the best. This is just me. You want to share Christ with somebody, talk to them. And listen to them. Listen to their story. Who are they? Instead of, so-and-so, just shut up and let me tell you my story, tell you what I got to tell you. I've memorized this. Let me tell you this. Instead, it's, tell me about you. And then look for, how does God interject into that? How is God helping this person? They don't even see it yet. How can God help this person? They don't even see it yet. But talk about them and Jesus in their life. Not, well, look, well, the laws are, no, that's number two. No, listen to them and talk. That's what Jesus does many times. Okay. So ways we can share. People need Jesus coming and helping on May 21st, sharing with people, listening to people, talking to people. I'm going to keep going because those kids have such a good time back there. I think, I hate to wreck it. You know, we're just going to, we're going to go until they stop. Wow. I'll probably pass out first. The other one is helping in missions, or another one is helping in missions. And what we have for you today, we've done this before. If you've been around, you're familiar with this. And Jeremy, would you? Maybe you'll get some help. Thank you. This is a missions faith promise. I just want to explain this very briefly what it is. There are different ways to give money. You know, tithes and offerings. I mean, a tithe is, look, okay, I get a paycheck, so I give 10% of it to church. Okay? When I get paid, I give it. If I don't get paid as much, I don't give as much. I mean, all that. When I get paid more, I give more. Right? Gifts. Then there can be sacrificial kind of things like, you know, I'm going to quit going to the movies, and for all the money I was going to spend on movies, I'm going to give to a certain project or something. Okay? This is a whole different way. What I want you to do is to spend a little bit of time in prayer. You're dependent upon Him. And ask God, okay, God, in the coming year, this is starting June 1st, June 1st through May 31st, starting in June, how much money do you want me to give to missions, God? Just look for an answer from Him, okay? Then, God, I want you to give me that much money extra, right? I want that much, I am asking you to give me that much money extra, okay? You know, I picked on Justin Thursday night, so I'm going to pick on him again because he's just easy and feels too used to being picked on. So, okay, I'll pick on you then too. But, you know, let's say Justin picks a number of $100. I'm going to give $100 to missions. Okay? So, God, I want you to give me $100 in the coming year, extra, just out of the blue. But my promise is, in this, when I get extra money, I'm not talking about regular money, like your paycheck, okay? When extra money comes my way, I will give that $100, the first $100 of it that comes, I will give to missions. When it comes, I will give it, okay? We had, a couple years ago, you know, we had sold our house, what, five, six, 7 years ago, and moved into the parsonage. Well, like 2 years ago, we got a check from our insurance company that, you know, we sold the house in the middle of our insurance term, and they had never given us the refund of what was left. And it had earned interest. It was a couple hundred dollars. And this check just came out of the blue that we weren't expecting for a couple hundred dollars from our insurance from when we had sold the house. You know? We have had years where I have had more money come in than I have pledged. And we have had years where I have had less money come in than I have pledged. Okay, now if less money comes in than I pledge, then I don't give, I only give what comes. Okay? Now, if I'm Phil, you know, I commit $100,000 because he's that kind of a guy. Okay? He only gets $95,000 extra, so he only gives $95,000. Doesn't he give the extra five? Okay? Unless he wants to. Man, he didn't pass out at that or anything. Let's say you commit $200 and $300 comes in. Okay? What I would suggest is the first $200, meet your promise. That's what this is. You meet the promise. Okay? When more comes in, you do with it what you think you should. Okay? When more has come in, sometimes we have given it to missions and sometimes we haven't. Maybe that sounds mean. Okay, but I committed to a certain number. Let's use a 200. I committed to 200, and the first 200 I gave, and now I have another $50. Well, we're going to use it for us. I lived up to my promise. Some years we've given it. Okay, this extra 50 came in, I'm going to give it to. Okay, whatever. Does this make sense? I'm going to ask God to give me extra money. When the extra money comes in, I'm going to give it to missions. And my promise, my pledge is, when the extra money comes in, I will give it. And then the commitment is to pray and ask God how much now. And what we're going to ask you to do is write down on the paper how much you think it would be. Okay, like I always do it as a one-time number. Okay, I'll use the 200 again. But I don't think I've ever gotten the money all at once. Okay, it kind of dribbles in. Okay, so let's say I say 200, and I get a check for an extra $50 comes in the mail. Okay, well, I'll give that when I get it. Okay, but I count it as one time. That's the way I think. And then when more comes in, you know, another 50, then I give that again. Okay, you don't have to give it all as one gift, but think of it as this is the one time, this is one amount, $200. Or maybe you're thinking you might get extra money every month. Or every week. You know, if you want to make it every day, you can cross week out and put day down. The reason we ask you for this is to give us some idea, is our budget way out of line or not? That's why I'd ask you to give it to Carolyn. You can put it in, we've already done the offering. Can't put it in the offering plate. Just fold it over and give it to Carolyn. Okay, if you want, you can give it to me. I won't look at it. Now what we do, I'm going to wrap this up really fast. Just so you know, Carolyn, okay, first of all, there's no place for you to put your name on this, right? So don't put your name on it. We're not tracking you versus your pledge. The bottom is for you to keep so you can remember. We are not going to come back and say, you know, look, you pledged how much or anything like that. The thing is for us to get the total amount. The other thing is we do not track whether you give to match your pledge, okay? Let's say Pickle and Phil, he says $200, and we come back to him in a year and say, Phil, it's only been $180. Come on, buddy, 20. We don't do that. We don't track this against your pledge at all, right? Okay? Again, the total is for us to be able to get an idea how are we doing with our budget. The only tracking that was done, I just need to say it, is if you give with your name on it, it is still recorded and kept confidentially by our colorful church secretary for your IRS paper, right? We are required by law to track that if you put your name on the money so you get your report for the IRS, okay? When you get this, when you give money toward missions, your options are to give money or a check, and just label it as missions, okay? If you want to give cash, put it in one of the envelopes. There's a place there for missions. It says World Missions. Just mark it for that. If you want to put your name on it, put your name on it. If you don't want to put your name on it, don't put your name on it. If you want to give a check over in the note portion, write down it's for missions. So we put it into missions. If you don't register what it's for, it goes into our regular offering. And I think that's everything. The kids have settled down. I should probably stop. Does that make sense? Anybody have any questions? I don't want to make it more complex than it is, but it's important. Okay, what I'm going to ask you to do, either pray about this before you go, put on a number, and give it to Carolyn. You're ready to go. Or take it home. Please bring it back. The problem with taking them home is many people, I was about ready to try to make up a number, like a statistic, many people take them home and don't ever bring them back. Okay? Many people, if you take it home today, you will either throw it away or put it in a pile of papers you won't look at again until 2027. And you go, oh man, I forgot about that. So it might just be better to sit here for a minute and pray. Give either me or Carolyn the paper. I'm going to pray now and we're going to end the service. People need Jesus. This is a very powerful way to share Jesus all around the world. With all these different countries, with the ones you saw the kids all dressed up, we do what we can to help you understand what goes on, to teach you the missionaries we support. We give try to give monthly updates. Next month, the Gallants are going to be here. You're going to get to hear from them direct from Cambodia. Let's pray. Please stand. Lord God, I'm asking for miracles today. I'm asking that you touch our hearts before we go, that we leave here knowing deep in our soul that we are no longer condemned. I'm asking for a miracle of cleansing. We are already cleansed in Christ, but I am asking you, God, that we leave here knowing that we are cleansed. There is no shame. There is no guilt in Christ. Touch us that we know it. We just know that we know. And next time anybody tries to throw guilt and shame upon us, we know it's not ours. And Lord, reveal to us what you would like each of us to give. And Lord, then I ask for you to give us each that amount of money. Extra, completely out of the blue. And I ask you, God, to remind us and that we will be trustworthy enough to truly give it to missions as you provide it. In Jesus' name, amen.